you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Thanks for tuning in to Abiding in Christ. Yesterday, Jim began a series titled Dining with Christ and focused on Luke chapter 5. Today, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 7, where Jesus dines with the Pharisees. If you missed yesterday's broadcast, we encourage you to go to our website at www.wvr.org and listen online. Again, thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Now, we're going to look at some meals that Jesus had. And the first of those is in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. Now, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, so he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you."
"Tell me, teacher," he said.
"Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied,
"I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled."
"You've judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Father, we ask you to help us to understand and believe your word. This Pharisee invited Jesus to a meal, but he denied him the usual courtesies. Not only did he not treat him as an honored guest, he didn't even treat him like a regular guest. There were certain things that were customary. To greet someone with a kiss was not an expression of intimacy. It's standard greeting to this day in the Middle East. And that was a part of the culture in Jesus' day. And Jesus was denied that in this Pharisee's home. It was standard that somebody would wash the guest's feet. It was done by whoever was lowest on the totem pole in that household. But somebody was to do it. It was a job that was to be done, and nobody did it for Jesus. Jesus was treated rudely by this Pharisee. Although this guy was extremely religious, he didn't like Jesus.
And sometimes there are people who want to have Jesus around, but not because they love him, but because they have other motives. It is not my place to judge motives. But you and I had better realize when we study the scriptures, God makes it abundantly clear that not all who say, Lord, Lord, are following Jesus. Many, Jesus says, will say to me in that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and in your name cast out demons? And I will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. You practice lawlessness. There are people who are doing things in Jesus' name who don't love him at all. And we can't always tell who's who. But Jesus can. Jesus didn't get up from the couch where they were eating and walk out in a huff and say, no kiss, no foot washing, I'm not staying. He stayed. He stayed in a place where he wasn't welcomed. But Jesus wasn't just there for the Pharisee. Jesus was there for this woman. It wasn't her house. She was an interloper. I mean, we assume that she was not part of the household based on what the Pharisee says about her. She was a sinful woman. Surely not the Pharisee's mistress, but a sinful woman. And the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, in other words, he wasn't trying to decide if Jesus was Messiah. He was trying to decide if Jesus was even for real. Well, it didn't take the Pharisee long to realize Jesus couldn't be in touch with God, or he would know what kind of woman this is. She is a sinner. You see, the problem is he thought he was in the know. What he didn't know was that he was a sinner. That's what he didn't know. He thought he was full of insight and that he was correctly assessing who Jesus is. The woman's a sinner and Jesus is a fake. He's half right. The woman was a sinner. But he was dead wrong about Jesus. And if you're wrong about Jesus, it doesn't matter what else you're right about. All the rest of your knowledge, all the rest of your education, all the rest of your accomplishments add up to zero. But this is a great intellectual. Well, if he's an atheist, he's a fool. Would you allow your child to be taught science by somebody who literally believed that the moon was made of cheese? Would you allow your child to be taught science by somebody who literally believed that the earth is flat and rectangular? Would you allow that? Of course not. Because you would insist that anybody who's going to teach your child about science know the facts. Well, let me remind you of a fact. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a fact. In fact, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him. And without him, nothing was made that has been made. That's a fact. And anybody who thinks that you can get a decent education from somebody who says that's not a fact is not thinking factually. It is just mind-blowing to me that we send our kids off to be educated by people who not only don't know the truth, they teach our kids that the truth is untrue. And then we wonder, why do we lose 80% of our kids by the time they finish college? Maybe because from the time they were little, we were telling them that it doesn't matter that much about the truth. The truth isn't that important, as long as you know. You just remember what we tell you a few hours a week while you're having to swim in that septic tank out there. Just remember, we told you the truth. All those other people don't take them seriously. Well, then why are you putting me with them? Oh, because
You need to get an education. Something very wrong with this picture. This Pharisee thought he was extremely knowledgeable. He thought he had great insight because he knew what kind of woman this was, and therefore, since Jesus didn't know what kind of woman she was, obviously, because if Jesus knew, then he wouldn't allow her to touch him. He wouldn't allow a sinner to get near him. He misjudged Jesus, and he misjudged himself. He thought he was okay, and Jesus was not. He had it backwards. Well, you knew it had to happen sooner or later. I've been asking you to please contact us and let us know you're listening. It's nice to hear from you. Thank you very much. Now, guess what? I'm going to ask you, if you appreciate this broadcast, if you're being helped by this ministry, please support us. If you're able to support this ministry, we'd be very grateful. We'd love for you to visit pastorwood.org, learn more about our ministry, see the ways in which God is allowing us to spread His Word. We've got a lot of resources there that are available to you. We just need to hear from you. Thank you so much for taking time to contact us. It's toll-free, 866-41-ABIDE, or go to our website, pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
But the way so I love this. He said to himself in verse 39. Verse 40, Jesus answered him. Do you imagine that was an uncomfortable moment for this fellow? Jesus knows what you're thinking. We never pull one over on God. It is amazing to me. I have to constantly be on guard against trying to position myself with God. That if I spin it this way, you know, if I tell him this, then, you know, I can win God to my point of view. I mean, that's the way you have to treat other people. I know that there, if I ask my wife this way, the answer is no. If I ask my wife this way, the answer is maybe. And I know there are some people, if I go to my board and I say, hey, I think we ought to do this, well, they won't like that idea because it's not theirs. But if I can ask the right questions so that they come up with what I wanted, they'll love the idea and I can support it. All right? Anybody else relate to that? Now, that works sort of some of the time in human relationships. It doesn't work at all with God. Because we come into God's presence kind of sideways, and God, I've been thinking, I could really serve you more effectively if... I'm just telling you, I mean, I know better. Well, this Pharisee has this internal conversation with himself, and when he's thinking, oh, well, obviously, Jesus doesn't know what this woman's about, and therefore, Jesus obviously is not a prophet. Jesus said, Simon, I have something to tell you. Tell me, teacher, he said, more posturing. Two men owed money to a certain moneylender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had money to pay him back, so he canceled the debts of both. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose, see, he's strategic. He's learned to hedge his bets here. I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. Jesus says, you've judged correctly. This is not a tough question, is it? Jesus has a sense of humor here in how he deals with him. He shows some sarcasm here in how he deals with him. And then Jesus lets him have it. And he begins to describe his experience in a way that would be embarrassing for this Pharisee in front of his guests. To have it pointed out that he had denied Jesus a kiss, to have it pointed out that he had failed to wash Jesus' feet, that's embarrassing, and Jesus just says it right out there in front of everybody. He says, look, you blew it, Buster. I showed up at your house and you were rude. You're a bad host. That is a major rebuke in this culture.
much more so than in ours. It wouldn't go over well in East Tennessee. But it was a real slam in this culture. And then Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." I want you to understand, Jesus wasn't saying she's been forgiven her many sins because she loved. He's saying her love is evidence of the fact that whether she understands it or not, she's been forgiven. God is the one who initiates the work of grace in our lives. It's not something we do and then God says, "Oh, okay, well then I'll save you." Our salvation from first to last is the work of God's grace. And God alone, is to receive the praise. This woman loved much because she had been forgiven much. But Jesus, in saying that, is saying to this guy, "You haven't been forgiven much." And it wasn't because this guy didn't need forgiveness. It's because God had not done the same work of grace in this Pharisee's heart. You see, the problem with being a Pharisee is you think you're doing pretty good. I mean, those people out there, oh, they just get under my last nerve. It just bothers me no end. They're just so bad, 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 bad. I'm so glad that we're, you know, I mean, some of you may have had bad times in your past, but I'm sure it's been years. Now you're just like me, walking in the Spirit every day. Never a cross word between you and your spouse. Never any impatience. Just the fruit of the Spirit. Somebody says, "What's she like?" Ever read 1 Corinthians 13? That's my honey. I'm sure we're all just on the same page there. We got it all together. We were totally sanctified a good decade ago. Now we're just shining until the Lord comes. Isn't it wonderful? Well, I tell you, God has delivered me from some things. I have, by God's grace, become a better person than I once was. But I am increasingly horrified at all the stuff that I was never even bothered about. Because I thought, compared to everybody else, I'm doing pretty good. But the more I spend time around Jesus, dining with him, the more I begin to recognize I didn't kiss him. I didn't make sure his feet got washed. Because Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, it was the way you treated the least of these that you treated me." I'm saying, "Oh, wait, God, no, no, I didn't know that was you. I was hoping for some sort of mystical experience, you know, in my devotional time. And you were saying that the way I responded to my kids, you took personally? Oh, I got to rethink this thing. You're saying that my callousness toward the needs of others offends you? God, I don't know that you understand how much more I do for others than many people do." And Jesus says, "Oh yeah, tell me about it." You see, whenever I compare myself to other people, I'm playing the Pharisees' game. Jesus
didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. Emptied himself. And he didn't just become one of us. He became a poor person, a servant, born in a manger, obedient to the point of death on a cross. And by point of comparison there, I don't do well at all. So, the question is, how do we love him? What this woman did was not to earn something. It was to express love. And that has to come from God. And so I am brought to my knees, crying out, Father, change my heart. Help me to love you. Really, really love you. Because what everybody else thinks doesn't matter. I want to love you. And the more I glimpse how much I need his grace and how much he has forgiven, the more I love him. But that love comes as he reveals our need, our sin, our sickness. That's why it is unloving for us not to call sin, sin. People will never know they need a Savior if they think that they're A-okay. People will never know that they're sick if sickness is called healthy. And you and I have got to stop kidding ourselves and making ourselves think that, well, I may not be able to run a 100-yard dash, but compared to the other people on this ward, I'm pretty healthy. We need to stop consoling ourselves with artificial, vain comparisons and recognize that God's standard is perfection. And Jesus is our only hope. He's our only hope. And the more we recognize that, and the more we keep our eyes fixed on him, the more that love springs up in our hearts and we say, God, I'll gladly serve you. Yeah, I'll go take care of those kids. Yeah, I'll give up what I thought was mine, because it's all yours, Lord. I owe everything to you. This alabaster container, this expensive perfume, it's all yours. And anything that's poured out for you, Jesus, is well spent. That's what happens when we listen to what Jesus says over dinner.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments that you want to make, I want to invite our listeners to call 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at wvr.org.